So our new series is called The Reason Why, and we've been looking at Jesus and why we do the Christian walk, right? What is this reason? Why come to church? Why read your Bible? Why do all that stuff and change our lives all completely around? And we saw that the answer was Jesus. A dude who is actually God, came to earth, died on a cross for you because he loves you so much. He paid for your sins so you can have eternal life. That's a reason to just like jump up and scream like, that's amazing news. And that's the news that is the reason why we do this. It's that good of news. And so as we look at Jesus, I'm going to walk you guys through some different passages in the book of Acts over the next couple weeks or months. And as we look through, we're going to look at these different reasons why Jesus is so awesome. And so tonight, if you guys will open up with me, we're in Acts chapter 3 tonight. If you get your Bibles, they're on your phones. The Firehouse app, if you don't have it, has a Bible, a digital Bible on there. You guys can pop on that too if you want. And you can look at the screens. Otherwise, we'll have it up there for you too. Acts chapter 3. We're going to see how Jesus is the reason for praise tonight. We just got finished praising the Lord. It was awesome. I got to stand in the back and hear you guys singing and hear the voices like shouting out how great Jesus was as we sang together. And I want you to know that the reason for praise is because of something, and it has to do with Jesus. Jesus transforms our lives. And as Jesus comes in and steps in your life and transforms you, like we just heard about Cameron, right? And we're going to hear about others who God has stepped into their life and changed them, transformed them into different people. That's what gives us the reason to praise him. Be like, thank you for changing me. Thank you for taking my dirty, broken, disgusting sin and getting rid of it and making me a brand new person, giving me the ability to fight sin, to just trust you, and you transform my life. And we're going to see this guy tonight in Acts 3. You guys ready for this? I love this story in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, because it's about transformation. It's this dude whose life got transformed. So let's check it out together. Verse 1, it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth, meaning he couldn't walk, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those, that means like begging, entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. But they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Here's like Peter and John, disciples of Jesus. Like, these guys knew Jesus personally. They had been with Jesus, lived with Jesus, done ministry with Jesus. They'd walked around with him and seen Jesus do miracles. Like, it was, these were like his closest dudes. And they're coming up to the temple to pray. And as they're walking into the temple, here's this beggar, a lame guy. He couldn't walk. He was paralyzed, who had been brought by his friends every single day. Imagine a life like that. The only income this dude could make, because he couldn't work, he was paralyzed, was his friends would bring him just outside the temple and leave him there by this gate called the Beautiful Gate. And as he laid there, he would beg money from people. And as people would enter the temple, they'd be like, well, you know, I'm going to praise Jesus and pray and do this religious thing. And so I can't say no to the guy. Like, I'd feel weird about that. So he'd get more money by being right there in front of the temple. So people feel guilty and give him more money. So it was basically his job. That's what this guy did to make money. But see, as people would walk in, it was like a shameful thing. You know, because he's there begging for money, and the dude, like, he's poor. And back then, they didn't have many changes of clothes, period. But like, to be a poor person, you probably barely showered or bathed, and you barely changed your clothes. And he was sitting on the ground in the dirt all the time because he was paralyzed, and he's begging in the hot sun. You get the picture? Here's like a dirty, stinky beggar guy on the side of the road, annoying people that are walking by asking for money every single day. And so a lot of people would see him. You know what they do? Just kind of like turn the other way. You may have done that yourself. Like there are people, homeless people in our community, people that are asking for money. And I just wonder how many people I've walked past or not looked at or not acknowledged because they were standing there begging. Some of you guys know this feeling, like when that happens, you've gone with me with that thing we do, Mission Trip Merritt Island, where we go into the community and we feed the homeless in our community and we talk to them and hang out with them and invite them to church and share the gospel. So you know what that feels like is we've walked up to some of these homeless guys and be like, hey, what's your name? I'm so-and-so. And you sit and there's a stench that happens, right? And it's this kind of awkward conversation. But as you spend time and really get to know the person, now every time I drive by the bridge, I know behind that dumpster over there by those condos is John, the homeless guy, military vet who lives, kind of hangs out behind that dumpster. And I can start to point out the homeless people in our community and know them by name. And some of you can too. Throw some coins and not really pay attention to the dude. John and Peter do something different. And you know, the guy is kind of used to people turning the other way. So you know what he does? He looks down. And he holds his hand up and he begs. He's like, sir, can I have some money? But he won't look at him. He keeps his head down. It was customary. He wouldn't look him in the eye. He would look down and hold his hand up. And so as John and Peter look at this guy, it's really, really crazy that right at the beginning of this conversation, one of the first things they say is, hey, look at us. Don't look at the ground. We're not staring off into space, ignoring you. We want to see your eyes. You treat this guy like a human with dignity, someone that God created, a precious creation of God who's just in a bad way in life. You can see the love of Jesus pouring out of these dudes. And here they are, and they're like, look at us. We don't want you looking at the ground. We want you to know who you are, who you were created by. And he's asking him for money, right? I could just see Jesus in them as they do this. I think of Philippians chapter 2 that talks about how Jesus came to earth and took the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He took the form of a servant, like in Philippians chapter 2, and he went to a cross for you and me. This humble servant who's the king of all creation, right? And so here these guys are humbly serving just like Jesus did. Now, here's the deal for me. I don't know about you guys, but for me, when God calls out in this big voice, he's like, Rob, I want you to do this thing. And I'm like, yes, whoa, God's talking to me. This is crazy. Or God does some really like powerful things that is really obvious and everybody sees. And it's like thrilling and emotional. And you're like, yes, God's doing big stuff. It's easy to kind of like get on board with that and obey and worship God in the middle of that. But it's those moments where it's like uncomfortable and sweaty. Those moments where you have to be a humble servant and maybe no one's ever going to see what God's doing through you. You're not going to get recognition. It'll actually be kind of an inconvenience in your life. Those moments where God changes your schedule and is like, man, you're going to miss practice or miss that game or not get as much time to study for that test. And God's like, I want you to make that sacrifice. It's those moments where you're going to have to give up time with your friends and hanging out or chilling and going to the beach or whatever the thing might be. Those moments where it's that decision of sacrifice and you're like, but no one's going to really see that. That's not as thrilling. That's not as emotional. It's not as big. I'm not standing on a stage, you know, and like people aren't going to put me all over Instagram for this thing. God, are you sure? And that's where the humble service comes in. And here's the deal. As we're talking about God transforming your life, you know what he's transforming you into? It's not this like nebulous like thing that you don't know. It's to look like Jesus. He's transforming you to look like Jesus. And guess what Jesus was? A humble servant. So if every time those moments come, those opportunities to be a humble servant come, and we kind of run from them, you're not going to look like Jesus because you're never stepping into those opportunities where it's like, man, I got a sacrifice here and I'm willing to do it because God's transforming me to look more like Jesus. to be a humble servant. Don't miss those opportunities. Don't immediately write them off because they mess up your schedule or your plans or your fun or the things that you have going on in your life. Be willing to say, God, I'll stop these things and give these things up if you're really calling me, even if it's not this big thrilling thing, if it's just a dirty beggar sitting on the side of the road and you want me to stop and look him in the eyes and remind him that he's loved. And that's exactly what they do. And so, what happens next? He says, and he fixed his attention on them. This guy like looks directly at him because that caught his attention for sure. Expecting to receive something from them. I mean, obviously he's begging. And here's these people responding to him begging. So he's expecting something, but there's something different. These people looked at him. These people cared enough to talk to him. Nobody else did that. He got dropped off there and everyone else just walked by and threw money at him. These guys stopped. There was something different. And so in that, he had this expectation that they were going to give him something. And he had no idea what. And he doesn't get what he's probably expecting he's going to get. But I just wonder how often you and I pray to the Lord in expectation that he will give us something. Not that he's going to give you the Ferrari you've been praying for, a Lamborghini, or a lot of success, or a big house. As a matter of fact, he'll probably give you something you had no idea or you didn't even ask for, but it's going to be so much better than whatever you think you need. Are you expecting Jesus to do something in you, to transform you, to make you more like him as you pray, as you live for him, as you sacrifice in those humble servant moments? Are you expecting Jesus to do something? Are you just kind of going through the motions of church and showing up at Firehouse, going to school? Or are you like, man, I'm actually praying. I'm living in relationship with Jesus, so I'm expecting him to change me. Because he promises to do that. He promises to do stuff I'm not even asking for. He's going to make me look more like him. Live in expectation that Jesus has this awesome gift for you, and it might not look physical, but it's going to be the best thing you ever could have asked for. This guy was expecting, but look what happens. He gets this unexpected thing, right? He's expecting something, but gets something unexpected. It shows us that as we worship Jesus, right in the middle of worshiping him, we get this unexpected healing that we didn't even know we needed in the first place. As your eyes are fixed on Christ, you might not even know you're hurting or broken or have a sin problem. You might not even know those things. But when you fall at the feet of Jesus and you're like, God, you're so awesome. I just need you right now. All of a sudden something happens and he starts to transform you in ways you didn't even know you were broken. There's a healing that happens in your heart that's unexpected. It's probably not even the thing you were asking for. So this guy gets this awesome gift. Are you ready? It says, but Peter said, here it is. I have no silver and gold. I bet the guy was like, what? but that's kind of what I'm doing here, man. I got to buy like dinner tonight. I need money. So what are you actually offering me? He says, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. Whew. I don't know if you heard it. But I know that that describes my life. So often I feel like I don't have anything to give. What can I really offer you, Lord? What can I offer these people? What can I offer Firehouse and these kids around me? And we think maybe like I don't have the personality and I can't offer them like a lot of intelligence and I can't offer this and I can't offer that. And we look at ourselves and go, what do I really have? Like, I'm not rich. I'm not like this comedian. I'm not like this... God, what? What is it? But we forget that if you follow Jesus, you've already got the most precious gift you could ever give anyone. You have the good news of Jesus Christ. And don't you dare undervalue that. That is the most precious gift you could ever give another person. You know the way to heaven. You know how to be forgiven. You know how to have a relationship with God. And you get to hand that to someone else. So if you have nothing else to offer, like these guys say, you've got the greatest thing anyone could ever need. and his name's Jesus. If you follow Christ, he's your gift that you can hand out. And he says this, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That dude did not get dropped off there that morning thinking he was going to walk home. As he got plopped down into the dust yet another day and sat in that hot sun begging all these people who ignored him and spat on him as they walked by and didn't even recognize him as a human. He didn't think he was going to walk home, never mind leap and dance. And there Peter and John go, we don't have a lot of money, but listen, get up and walk. We'll give you that. And they don't say that it was something they did. Did you hear that? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It wasn't Peter and John that did it. They had something. They had it. But it wasn't them that did it. The gift was Jesus. And Jesus was the one who heals this guy and causes him to walk. And look what he does, right? He took him by the right hand and raised him up. He pulls him up off his feet. His legs are all buckled. And as he pulls him up, it says immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. The dude's able to stand for the first time. He's looking down at his feet. And he feels the joy well up in his heart. And look what happens next. Leaping up, it says. The dude leaps. Then just take a baby step, testing it out, you know? Twinkle the toes first for a second, see if they're moving. First thing the dude does is just like, I'm not a ballerina, I can't do that stuff. I'd break the stage anyway, right? But he does, right? He jumps, it says he leaps. He takes this massive leap of faith for Jesus. Man, he was transformed. And it wasn't just his body that was transformed. The dude's heart was healed. The sin in him was forgiven. You know why? Because he believed the name of Jesus. He didn't go, oh man, I don't know if I'm healed. He said, the name of Jesus. I've heard that name before. I've heard what he can do. I believe that. And as he leaps, there's healing and there's transformation in this guy. Jesus wants to transform each of us. Some of you guys have already accepted Jesus, right? You have a relationship with him. But do you know that he saved you not just to save you and leave you that way, but to transform you, to make you look like him? How many of you guys tonight, don't raise your hands, but in your heart answer this. How many of you are seeing yourselves become more and more like Jesus? You're seeing a change like Cameron was talking about up here, and we're going to hear more of, right? How people were one way, but Jesus enters your life and all of a sudden, you're changing. You're not perfect, but you're different. And you're starting to look more and more like Jesus. And the more he works in you, the more you look like him. And maybe you're like, man, I don't see transformation. I don't see any difference from the moment I prayed some prayer before. Like, nothing changed. I want to encourage you, place your heart and trust in Jesus fully. Like this guy, take a leap. Say, Jesus, take all of me and see what he does. Start to see the transformation that he'll do when you leap in faith for Christ. When you don't just pray a prayer, but you say, take my whole life, take all of it, Jesus. I want to be different. Every morning when I wake up, I want to be more like you. I want to see myself loving people more. I want to see myself serving people more. I want to look like the humble servant you are. I want to be able to speak with authority because I know your word. I want to be like Jesus. And if you're tired of just looking the same every day and not changing, and just doing this thing called religion, have a relationship with Christ and let him transform your whole life. This guy did. And he leaps, right? Leaping up. He stood and began to walk and entered the temple with him, walking and leaping and praising God. It's just like, I mean, I can picture this scene. He's like, raw, raw. I mean, I don't know. In my head, it's weird, but it's awesome because the dude's so pumped. He's overjoyed. Because he just got transformed by Jesus. Too many Christians are walking around like, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's pretty cool. Oh, yeah, sounds real cool. You're so different. I'm glad I just want to be like you. But you meet those people that really know Christ. You know those people who have been transformed by Jesus, who see him every day, who spend time with him every day. And as they look at Christ, they can't keep their mouth shut. It's just Jesus, 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 Jesus. Almost to where it's annoying, right? Because they're just always Jesus. But it's awesome because they're overjoyed with Jesus. They spend time with him. They get excited about him. And it's not just this emotional excitement. It's a joy that's deep because they know they're going to heaven. They know, they know, they know, they know the greatest king in all the earth. And that's a reason for them to celebrate and leap and jump and praise the Lord, right? That's his response to being transformed. Because here's the deal. We could say that we praise for all sorts of reasons. And the truth is God just deserves to be praised, period, because of who he is. We were built, created to praise him. And so it should just happen naturally, except this thing called sin happened. And it blinds us to how awesome he is. And we look more at ourselves and the world and our friends and our stuff, and we forget and we don't see his glory because we're blinded by our sin. But there's moments where he comes in and he touches you and he pulls the veil back a little bit and you catch a glimpse at how big he is and how awesome he is. And you know what happens as he transforms you? You can't help keep your mouth shut. You got to praise him. You got to sing because you're like, holy cow, I forgot how big you were. I forgot how awesome you are. And this was a moment where this dude got to catch a glimpse of the power of Jesus. And as God reaches out, he loves us first. We're able to respond in love and praise because he transforms us from our sin. I don't know how many of y'all have been transformed. You've been saved. You've given your heart to Jesus. But if you have, do me a favor, just go, hoot, hoot. Do that. Do that if you have. Any hoot hoots in the room? Anybody been transformed by Jesus? Oh, there's a couple of hoots. I made you sound like owls. It's awesome. All right. So we got some believers in the room. I like it. I like it, all right? You guys know you have the greatest news that you could ever share with anybody? You've been transformed by the King of the universe. Praise him. Leap around in your heart and maybe physically too. Who cares? Love Jesus. Live for Jesus. Let the world look at you like these people. Look what happened when they saw this guy. Check this out. They see this guy come in the temple, right? And all the people saw him walking and praising God, it says, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple. And guess what they do? They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When the world sees you leaping for Jesus because he's worth it, because you know who he is, it's going to fill them with amazement. And they might reject. That's not up to you. That's up to their heart. But they might look and they might be full of amazement because you lived it out in front of them. Because you lived like a transformed person and you were actually excited about the right thing. Because all this other junk, it's really not that is exciting. The world wants you to think so. But the King of the universe who made everything that exists, holds it in existence, that's pretty exciting. You get to live for eternity at his side. Leap. Praise. Live transformed. The best way you can do that, Jesus says, that after you have believed in him, is be baptized. Right after you get saved, he's always taking people from salvation. Like you believe, be baptized. You believe, be baptized. You know what baptism is? Some of you guys might have no idea. You've been saved, but you haven't been baptized. You're not sure what it is yet. I tell you, baptism is the way where Jesus says you tell people, you show people what happened in you. You say, hey, I've been transformed. And when they see you be baptized, they're like, well, I want to know what this is about. I want to know why you're doing this. What is this transformation you're talking about? And some of y'all haven't done that yet. I want to encourage you. Maybe even tonight, God's been talking to your heart and you haven't been baptized. Maybe tonight is the night where you're like, man, I've been scared or whatever it is. I just didn't even know, but I want to do that. Because what baptism is, we take you in the water and we dunk you under, and that represents the ground where Jesus was buried and died for you. And then when we pull you back up out of the water, it's Jesus raising from the dead. It's a picture of that, that you have died with Jesus, to your sin, into this world, but then you were raised again to brand new life with Jesus Christ. You were transformed into a brand new creation. And those watching get to hear the gospel as you're being dunked under the water and pulled back up. They're seeing that you believe in Jesus Christ and you're not ashamed of it. And if you haven't done that yet and you have believed in Jesus, or maybe tonight you want to believe in Jesus and be baptized, I want to encourage you to talk to me before you leave tonight. I would love to baptize you. We'll bring a big old tank and water in this room and we'll baptize you right here at Firehouse. But follow Jesus in obedience. Live transformed and let the world see you leap. Jump and praise Jesus Christ. And finally, maybe some of you guys have done that and you're looking for that opportunity now to live it out, to live transformed. And we have these teams here at Firehouse. Cameron was up here earlier. It's the dream team. There are interns, but there are other leadership teams at Firehouse. The Power Company, that's our high school leadership team. We have a middle school leadership team. We want you to be able to get involved at Firehouse to lead, to serve and love, humble service like these guys did. And maybe that's a team for you. We already have some really awesome people on those teams who are like, man, I'm in. Let's go. Let's do this. And maybe tonight God's just calling you to join one of those teams. Come talk to me or Katie or Justin before this night's over, and we'll show you how to get hooked up with that too. All right. Will you guys bow with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, thank you that you are so good to us. Lord, that you transform us, and that's why we praise you. God, not just because it's a fun thing to do to sing songs, but that our praise, God, is bigger than music and it's bigger than singing. It's our lives being transformed, and Jesus, that's what we want tonight. And I pray, God, if there are students in this room who have never accepted you as their Savior, they've never been forgiven of their sin, that tonight even, they might talk to one of us before they leave and be saved. And God, for those who haven't been baptized, I pray that maybe tonight be the night they make a commitment to get baptized, to show people what they've done, what has already happened in their heart. And for those saying, man, I just want to lead. I want to step up and serve as a humble servant. I pray that they would be committed tonight to one of these leadership teams, God, where they could show their peers and lead the way and say, God, we follow Jesus and that's what we're going to do. We love you so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you transform us. And as we get up and as we sing this last song, I pray there would be more than just words and music. Would you help us just to sing out of the overflow of having spent time with you right now? Let us get up and just declare you are awesome and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.